Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday morning. Darren Saul here, your host of Playing With Perspective, the Suspended Animation podcast. I hope everybody's doing really well out there, keeping away and keeping dry. I've got a fantastic show for you today. It's episode 48. We're growing. And I have Anthony Pham in the studio. And we're going to be chatting about what they don't teach you at school about life. So I'm very interested to hear what Anthony has to say about this. So for everybody out there, who is Anthony? Anthony is young, passionate, and professional. He currently resides in sunny Queensland and works for American Express as a business development manager. He loves serving and creating great outcomes for clients. Anthony has led a very interesting life journey and is going to share his thoughts and philosophies with us today about living your life with humility, awareness, and keeping your eyes open for opportunities. So good morning, Anthony. How are you doing?
Hey, good, thanks. I don't know if it's been that sunny recently, but nonetheless, yes.
Sunny Queensland. Thank you again for
having me on the show. Yeah, usually sunny. I guess
it's nice being sunny. Absolutely. I mean, we all have to have a few funny days. As long as the majority is okay, that's the main thing.
That's right. Keeps things in perspective.
Absolutely, mate. So now, Anthony, tell us a bit about you and, you know, your life's journey and, you know, just love to hear a bit more about what you've been up to.
Yeah, well, I guess, like you said, I'm working at American Express at the moment. And it's interesting, you know, when I was at uni, everyone talks about working for the Big Four and Fortune 500 companies. And that was really never on my mind.
Actually, let me jump in. What did you study at uni?
I studied business management. Business management.
Fantastic.
Yeah, the University of Queensland. So, yeah, it's interesting that I've sort of found myself in quite a desirable role, working for a great company, global company. And sort of just fell into that space, if I'm being honest. And it's interesting. It's interesting how, I guess, sometimes you don't end up where you think you are. Yeah, and then, like you said before, I've got a few other things going on the side. I did speak last time too about a little basketball clinic that I have going as well. Basketball and grassroots community. I think it's something that's lacking a bit up here. We don't have that many coaches. It's always good to bring a smile to kids' faces.
Fantastic. Tell us more about the basketball clinic. How did you get into basketball? How did you decide to open up a basketball clinic? And what's the message, you know, behind you building this? What do you want to do with it?
I think for me, the problem I saw was that the best coaches are coaching the best teams. And myself, I was involved a lot in state and rep basketball. Wow. And those kids, they're pretty good and they're getting better. But I saw a lot of kids who, starting out in the game, they didn't have that support. They're relying on, you know, volunteers and mums and dads. And we definitely need that. But there's a lack of, presence of real quality coaches, real experienced coaches in that community space.
Okay, wow. And is it easy to become a basketball coach? Do you have to have a very strong basketball background, or can you just start coaching? How does it work?
You can start coaching. There's pathways into it. They've got a 5-level certification. So you start with level 1, which is a community coaching course. And a lot of clubs out there would take volunteers and would train you up usually. It's helpful if you've played and appreciate the game. But for me, I think that's, especially when you're dealing with young kids, it's a very small aspect of it. About keeping them engaged, keeping them energized. So it's different skill sets for different sort of levels. Skill sets.
And what do you want to teach your kids, apart from just the skills, you know, the physical skills and the basketball skills? Do you have any, you know, life skills or any philosophies that you want to try and instill in your kids as a coach?
Yeah, 100%. That's a very good question. I think for me, that's what sets me apart from a lot of other coaches. Like, I love the technical aspect. And that's really important to be successful. But on top of that, you know, it's like anything, mindset is key. Your mindset is not in the right space. You're not going to get anywhere. You can't achieve if you don't believe. And I really believe in that. And it's really, I guess, amazing to see kids who come in and there's things they think they can't do. And just the way they speak and every drill is a pain because they're complaining. I can't do this, can't do this. And the transformation, in a short time, sometimes it's incredible.
Wow. And obviously it helps with their confidence, you know, and something like that can really help them in their whole life.
100%. You know, and that's a feedback that I've gotten. Kids come to me after you know, 3, 4, 5 years, especially they transition into high school or uni, and there's that big change. It's really nice to know that that stays with them and that's a part of them.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. I'd always had love to be a coach in some kind of sporting, but I've never was good enough.
that's an excuse there. There's that. We need more coaches. It's not about that. So I think, you know, if you like kids and you like bringing a smile to their face and you can teach them a few things, because you become that trusted advisor. I think that's the key thing. You know, growing up, you know, it's always really important to have a role model. So I think if you can play that part, that's amazing.
Absolutely. It's very rewarding for you as well. You know, it's something that would be lovely and enriching for your soul, helping these kids and seeing their journey as they grow from when they started to where they might leave you, or you might still stay in contact with them after their basketball journey. So it's what a lovely thing to do. Well done.
That's all right.
Well done, mate. And so tell us more about your journey in life and business to how you became a business development manager at American Express, and, you know, what you're doing at the moment and what, you know, what your passion is really.
Okay. Well, I guess I've always worked. So from the young age, I think 18, as soon as I left high school, started working.
Yep.
Grinding my gears in hospitality. So I was a bartender actually. So for about 4 years of my life, I slept at 6 a.m. So I was nocturnal.
Wow.
It was tough, and I didn't have a car for a few of those years. So it's just catching the night bus with drunken people. So every night is you're risking your life. So
definitely.
I like to compare what I did to what people do on the front line, but So yes, that's where I sort of learned to appreciate customer service and learn a bit about business, you know, what it takes. And I think that's where I developed that really keen interest, and I knew, you know, that I wanted to create something for myself, which is why I created the Basketball Academy.
Lovely.
Which gives me a bit of freedom.
Lovely.
Yeah.
And working in a bar, I mean, can tell you, can teach you a hell of a lot about human beings and how to interact with people. And you can learn a lot working in a bar.
Yeah, you see the good and bad in people. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess after that, I was in recruiting for about 3 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, did skill migration. I did see as well that recruitment. I really enjoyed that. Learned a lot. I think my mentor, my former boss, we just hit it off. And, you know, they say when you're picking a job, it's about picking your manager or your employee, or employer, I should say. Yep. I think that's the key, especially early on in your career.
Yep.
It matters so much more than the degree of what you're doing to have someone actually sort of care about you and care about your growth and want you to succeed is I think. So I was really lucky to have that kind of relationship, learned a lot. But ultimately wanted to see what else was out there and continue to learn and grow.
And then you went into working for Amex, is that right?
No, so before that there was a short stint. I worked for EmployeeSure.
Oh, yeah.
For a little bit, about 6 months. So EmployeeSure, they're basically a HR solutions provider. I'm not sure.
Gotcha.
They've been in the media quite a lot recently. So basically the guy who started EmployeeSure saw that the court system was a little bit unfair towards employers. So something like an unfair dismissal claim, sometimes it costs more to challenge it than to actually pay it. And he saw a big problem in that, and basically they moved to a subscription style service.
Yeah.
So imagine that. Imagine paying, you know, 12 grand to save yourself 10 grand. Makes no sense. So
that's right. That's right.
That's nothing had to be done. So I was there for a little bit. And I guess there was a role that I was wanting to go into, get out in the field, become BDM like I'm doing now.
Yeah.
But I think company wise, few things internally happened. It didn't pan out. And so I moved on. Luckily, you know, everything happens for a reason. And that's why I'm here now. So.
Absolutely. And so then tell us a bit more about exactly what you're doing right now.
Okay. So Amex, basically, as you know, they're credit card providers, offer one of the best credit cards available in the market. And so my job is to talk to merchants and get them to accept it as a form of payment.
Correct. Right. Yep.
I'm responsible for the Brisbane area. So basically, look after a certain area, go out in the field, have honest conversations with business owners to see, you know, if there's anything we can do to help them, I guess, with their business. Because a lot of people don't understand. You don't know what you don't know, right? And you don't know, you know, potentially what you're missing out for and what it can do. Because a lot has changed in terms of the actual product and service itself in the few, last few years.
And that's actually a really good point. Because, I mean, I've always thought that I used to have Amex and then I stopped using Amex, but I always thought that Amex would charge the vendors and the merchants a slightly higher percentage. So people were tending to not use Amex. Is that still right or how does it work?
So in the past, I think we were probably three times more expensive.
Oh, wow.
And going back, American Express has been around for, you know, 150 years, 1850 started. So it's got a long history. And I think there was a time where we, as a company philosophy, focus on exclusivity.
Right.
So back in the 1980s, it's a huge thing where basically MasterCard come to you and said, only use MasterCard, we need great rates. And then everyone started doing it. I'm not saying MasterCard started it. I'm just saying that's legal disclaimer, but that's sort of what happened and that's sort of what the space was. And I guess, yeah, our prices used to be a little bit more expensive, but since then we've adjusted, so it's a bit more competitive,
good.
A bit more fair.
That's good to know.
And it's more education around what that might be,
Right, that's great to know. Good to know, because I never knew that. I mean, I always thought that was the case.
Yeah. It's definitely not the case anymore. You'll find that it's pretty much even, if it's not even cheaper sometimes.
Yeah, and the whole world of finance and cards and different payment solutions is changing anyway. We've got so many different products now. It's not like, not as simple as it used to be. There's so many different options these days.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And so tell us, I mean, you've done lots of different things. When you first started and you were thinking about what you were going to do in life, what did you think you were going to do and what did your family think you were going to do? And how's that different to what you actually started doing?
That's a good question. I actually, when I first left high school, I wanted to be a psychologist.
Psychologist, okay.
Yeah, I wanted to be a psychologist. And really, it's going to sound really stupid, but there were basically two people in my life who were affected by, I guess, one of my cousins had cerebral palsy. And growing up, he was the same age. And it wasn't really something we talked about, and we just knew he was sort of different.
Yep.
And I just thought, as a young kid, I just thought, you know, we'd be best friends. Right. You know, if things were slightly different. And I thought, I thought there was a way we could sort of help him and you know, I wanted to get into that sort of space.
Beautiful.
And then one of my uncles had Parkinson's, and it's still an area where we don't really know too much. It's currently listed as an incurable. I thought, you know, maybe I could do something about that. So I did a year of psychology.
It
wasn't for me.
Yep.
Too many big words for me.
It's quite sciencey and quite analytical the first year as well, I heard.
Yes, it is now. So, but I guess that desire to help and that desire to do something always stay with me. And so that's one of my sort of non-negotiables.
Okay.
Anything I do.
Okay. And was your family supportive of all your choices, or did they try and sway you in a different direction at times?
I think they sort of let me do my own thing. It's more, they're more concerned that I'm chopping and changing, but I think that's what you have to do in life sometimes, you know.
Yep.
It doesn't always come smack bang to you in the face, but they were always there in terms of support if I needed anything. It's just hard because probably should have said this earlier, but my parents were both refugees, so coming here I couldn't just look at, you know, my mom or dad's career path to follow what they did and idea of professionally what they would recommend doing. They've always been self-employed into small business. So it was very different when I entered that professional stage of my life.
Wow. And so then looking back at your journey, what lessons have you learned, and what do you think that you've learned on your own outside of school? What are the things that they don't teach you?
I think a lot of it, honestly, I'd say at least 80%. It's just life experience. And I think when I left high school, I really valued, you know, the formal education system. And it's there for a reason.
Yep.
But in terms of the growth that I needed as a person, you know, like take sales, for instance, just overcoming objection, getting to talk to people, into, you know, personal skills. They don't teach you that in school. So,
That's and right. I think all the softer side, the EQ side.
Exactly. And that's the things that employers are looking for these days, you know. So there needs to be a balance. And I'm lucky because I guess in my culture sometimes there's a really big focus on the academic side. Yep. But my parents weren't too fussed about that. They sort of, let me sort of go my own way, forge my own path in a sense.
Oh, that's really great. That's amazing. It's nice to have that support from your family, you know, when you're doing something slightly different maybe to what they had envisioned for you.
It is.
And it helps you along the way. And it's really great that you've got this sense of empathy and strong EQ to give back and to help other people. And that's probably what's also influenced you to set up your basketball clinic.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Big motivation. I think it started because one kid just asked me at the park to teach him. And then he asked his friend. And then sooner or later, I had 20 kids just messaging me, asking if I was free that day. And I thought, I gotta start charging some money for this because it's taking too much of my time. I don't even know who these kids are. So.
And so what's happening with that right now in this period? Obviously nothing.
Yeah, good question. So I've just had a look the other day. It looks like we'll be opening up in stage 3.
Okay.
Just because right now I'm using a school hall for training purposes and they're still a little bit uncertain. Just sort of easier not to hire it in these times from their perspective. So it looks like, I believe, July the 12th, I'll be looking to reopen. Potentially, you know, they changed the dates earlier. But we need to be out there doing stuff, you know, I think from a health and exercise perspective. Because I can't remember last time I shot a basketball, so I'm not really – I don't really feel equipped to teach right now. I'm going to maybe – delay it a month and teach myself first.
Just actually out of interest for all the basketball fans out there, what position did you play when you played?
I was a point guard.
Okay.
For those who don't know, you basically bring up the ball, you know, control the team in terms of traffic and tempo. And these days, if you watch NBA or any, you know, top leagues, it's usually the point guard who's very dominant in terms of scoring.
Right. Okay. Wow.
So you a little bit. Changes. No, I wasn't much of a scorer. I was more of a defender, passer.
Okay.
But I guess everyone adapts a little bit.
So is the point guard a bit like a quarterback in football?
Yeah, in a sense. Yeah.
Okay. So kind of like you control the strategy and the tempo, and you know, you're kind of the one that pulls the strings, but you don't always have to be the one that scores.
That's right. So, I mean, to give you an idea, there's 5 players on the court on your team.
Yep.
And usually the point guard will have the ball sort of 30-35% of the time.
Oh, wow.
So they'll have the ball in their hands, you know, doing things with it.
Fantastic. Anthony, well done. And so what has basketball taught you about life, actually?
I think basketball is a great sport. I think that's why I promote it as much as I do. It's really inclusive. You know, like I said, there's only 5 on the court, 10 in a team. So everyone has an opportunity. And there's really nowhere to hide because the difference between 5-on-5 and 4-on-4 is immense. You know, where I think if you watch, I'm a big sport fan myself. So, you know, oftentimes, let's say rugby league, for instance, you can just hide someone that's a poor defender.
Yeah.
You know, like typically halfback's a bit smaller. And so you can hide them and you can sort of get away with that. But in basketball, if you can't defend or hold your own, any I guess what I'm trying to say is anything you can't do in terms of the skill shortage is very noticeable.
It's very noticeable. Yeah. Actually, that's a really interesting point. I just recently watched a film with Ben Affleck, starring Ben Affleck, and he started as a basketball coach.
Okay.
And he was brought to teach this team, to coach this team that was – pretty much inferior physically and even from a skills point of view with most of the players compared to a lot of the others in the league. I think it was the high school league.
Yes.
But he was a really good player himself at the certain school and he's a fantastic coach. And he basically slowly brings their skill level up where they actually win the championship so many years in a row.
That's awesome.
One of the things that he was teaching was that, and something that stuck in my head because it's very relevant to life and business, is all those little things, if you just do them well, they add up to so many points at the end of the game. So every little micro win can really give you huge results when you add them up, even though while you're doing them, you might not think they're very important. So that's a really, really good analogy for life and business. Is 100%. Everything really well along the way.
100%. I think there's so many parallels between sport and business. You know, one of the things I always promote to my kids is that the winning starts in training. Yeah. And then you only collect the trophy in the game or in the finals.
Yeah.
So I think installing that sort of process mentality in kids and showing them that there's actually a very strong correlation between what you do in terms of training and preparation.
Yep.
The outcomes.
Awesome. And your kids, you're teaching them basketball as well? You want to, you know, turn them into basketball stars?
Yeah. You know, I had some good results with kids. Everyone has different goals and things they want to achieve. So it's just nice to see them have a smile on their face.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. I mean, only if they want to become basketball stars, they might not want to do that.
100%. You know, and I think that's an important thing to bring up. You know, a lot of parents, sort of like you said before, force things on their kids.
Yeah.
And it can sometimes have the opposite result. So I'm very careful of making sure it's not my goal. I will tell them if I see certain potential thing they can achieve, but ultimately it has to come from them.
Very, very wise. Very, very wise advice, Anthony. I like that. You know, and you can use, you know, basketball and everything else that they do as learning experience to mold their character for later on in life. Doesn't mean they have to become basketball stars. They're just, you're just using it as a vehicle for teaching life's lessons.
Yeah, 100%.
That's great. And so what's on the future for Anthony Pham? What do you want to do now? Any particular plans? Any different tangents that you want to go on in your life?
I don't know about plans, but I am planning to move to Melbourne to start of next year. It's something I've wanted to do for a while. I was born in Melbourne and been waiting for the, I guess, the right time to go back. And I thought, you know, forget about that. I'll just go. So I think this is something that appeals to me about, you know, living down there. Got a lot of family down there.
Yeah.
It's a bigger city. I'm hoping it'll be good for me.
I love Melbourne. So I've got lots of family and friends there and I go there a lot and I just love it down there. It's so exciting. It's very cosmopolitan. What took you to Queensland in the first place?
We moved here in 2004. My little brother actually had some breathing difficulties. It was quite cold down there back then. He had some asthma and was up 3 days a week or whatever. Mum thought, you know, it'll be better for him in a stable climate.
Lovely. Yeah. Weather's so much better over there. Yeah.
I have much resentment towards it. So
that's great.
He's actually just moved back at the start of Feb.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Okay. Nice, nice, nice. Awesome. So Anthony, what would you like to leave the audience with in terms of, you know, anything that you've learned and anything that you can, you know, instill in people from your time as a basketball coach? What do you think would help people in their journey these days?
I think it's just about being open to change and always looking to improve. You know, it's the common theme that I've found, you know, especially 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, I'm out there talking to small business owners and it seems like sometimes they're content. And I understand as a small business owner, you've got many hats to wear and a lot of things to deal with. But I think it's about really trying to think about what's going to help your business and setting time for that to happen. I think COVID, one of the silver linings is it's given people time to really dig deep about what's going on because, you know, otherwise time just passes by and you're not really sure where you are anymore. You know, I think it's about really deliberate action. Yeah, I'm not sure if you've done yourself, Darren, recently.
Yeah, I certainly would agree. You know, COVID's been a great reset in a way, and it's made us reevaluate what we really want and how we want to go about it, and take stock of some of the things in our world that we really didn't need. And you know, so it's really been a great reset for many, many reasons. And as long as everybody's healthy and happy, then you know, I think it's been an interesting period, and we've all learned something from it.
Yeah. I think one of those things as well is just about being passionate about what you do. And, you know, we're in business to create something for ourselves yep. in terms of a lifestyle or an outcome for ourselves and our family. And I think if that desire is not there anymore, people can feel it. People yep. can see it when you interact with them.
Definitely.
You know, customers and employees. I think it's really important to be aligned and trying to do something that you love.
Yep, definitely. Because people can sense it. They can perceive it subconsciously straight away if you're not really enjoying what you're doing or you don't really want to be there.
That's right.
And that's not going to help you make any sales.
100%. So I think that's the main sort of tip to small businesses. Just being open to change. You know, I'm involved a lot with the startup space. I was really interested to see what people are doing. And things are changing. Things are changing really quickly. And so I think it's really important to try to stay up to date with that. Just things like automations in your business, you know, just really looking at things you can do and leveraging other things so that you have time. You know, it's about creating time for yourself.
Definitely. Yeah, everybody's always trying to find ways to get more time. That's, we're all struggling for time.
Right.
More and more these days. Absolutely.
Common thing. Not anymore. I've got a lot of time now. So.
That's right.
sooner or later, we're going to have to go back to real life.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, Anthony, thank you so much for coming on the show, man. You've been an absolute pleasure to talk to, and I've learned so much about your past, and you know, you've got some really great insights to share, both in your life's journey as well as your journey as a basketball coach, what you've learned teaching and coaching young people. So really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing everything with the audience.
Appreciate you having me.
Thank you, mate. And
I'll be back in 25 years to give you some proper life advice.
All right, we're gonna do a part two in 25 years. I'm gonna hold you to it. I'm gonna put it in the diary.
That's all right. Set the date.
All right. So Anthony, thank you so much. And for all the audience out there, I hope you've learned a lot from Anthony and from our discussion. And have a great day. And we'll see you very, very soon for another episode. So bye for now.